Good evening. It's a pleasure to be able to stand before you and lead your thoughts and be able to impart God's word to you, and hope and trust and pray that there will be something that I'll mention tonight that will encourage you, that will help increase your faith and also teach you more about how we should be concerned for one another. Our respect, our love, and appreciation for our fellow brothers and sisters takes effort and should be of the utmost importance to us. Our concern for one another should not be ignored or underestimated. To allow the body of Christ to function, for it to grow, and for it to thrive, because the church is one body and we are all one members of that one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 tells us, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." This evening, we'll be discussing how and why we should be actively expressing our care and concern for one another. The title of my lesson tonight is Service to One Another. There's about 13 different ways that we can show or demonstrate our respect and care for one another. However, time will not allow us to identify and discuss all 13. But I will strive tonight to highlight five of them very briefly that I believe are essential and important to be reminded of from time to time. Throughout this lesson, please remember a key element of a mindset to have is that we must be unselfish in our Christian walk and be concerned about the interests and the well-being of others and not just ourselves. So we must look out for and help one another. You may hear me repeat this time and time again tonight. And helping one another is a two-way street. It's not a one-way street that we're just receiving and we're not giving. It should be a two-way street. So it's very important for us to remember that tonight. Philippians chapter 2 verses 3 through 4 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Again, for one another. My first point in service to one another, we must have a genuine love for one another. We must have that genuine, pure, honest, organic love for one another. It was read in your hearing, John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, which states, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." We must not harbor disdain for our brothers and our sisters. Get to know your spiritual family. Do not do guesswork and speculate about them. Interact and fellowship. Then you'll know more about them, rather than wondering, who is that person that's walking in on the other side of the building? I wonder what they are thinking. Go find out. Go strike up a conversation with them. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, the Bible reads, "We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar, and he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hasn't seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Now, if we claim that we love God and we are having ill will or harboring ill will towards our brother or our sister, we got a paradox there. We got a, as Brother Pat used to say, we got a dichotomy. That means that there's something that is wrong there, because God has already extended his love towards us, and then we are going to not extend our love to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and to our fellow man. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12 also says, no one outside of verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and he and his love has been perfected in us. So we have this exchange of love going on. The Father first loved us, so we should be motivated and should understand that we need to pass that love on to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So my second point in striving to serve one another is that we must receive one another. It was read in your hearing, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. We already read that passage of scripture. But I want to highlight verse 7 of that passage again, for it says, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Christ loved us before we even were created. Can you imagine that? He already deemed it necessary to offer up a way to prepare a way that we could be reconciled to him. He received us first. So we need to do that and reciprocate that back to him, but also to one another. As I said, Christ loved us before we first loved him, and there's no respect of persons with God. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. We're aware of what has gone on in that chapter, because there were Gentiles being converted. And we know Peter had a problem with that initially, but God approached him and worked with him and reasoned with him and convinced him that he can't be partial in who receives the gospel. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, Peter came to this conclusion. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So in the church at Rome, there were conflicts between the Jewish and the Gentile brethren because of culture, because of where they came from, different practices and traditions that they practiced, and historical things that they picked up along the way that was unique to their growth and development, the families of origin, what they looked like, what color of skin they were. So there were some differences, but Christ is saying, regardless of that, it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your parents told you to think. Now, we all can kind of reflect on that a little bit, because we all have been told certain things to do and certain ways to treat certain people. But Christ is saying in this point, to receive one another as I have also received you. Let's look at back in Romans again, chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. It was already read. I want to read it again for emphasis. Romans 15, 5 through 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God showed patience with us, and as Brother Obed is pointing out, man, did he show a lot of patience in the Old Testament with the Jews. And their continual rebellion against God and against his commands. So God is patient with us. Why can't we be patient with our fellow man, with one another? Very, very important point is that we have to be of one mind with one another. And how do we do that? By transforming our minds. Colossians 3 talks about the transformation. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We have to allow that common denominator. We are all members of the same body and the same church, which belongs to Christ. And he expects us to receive one another. As Christians, we must be transformed by God's love and his word, not to shy away or separate ourselves from one another because of differences in color, race, or origin. Now, something I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I'm going to hit on it, is politics. Politics should not be discussed in this building, because politics is a worldly subject that can divide us and cause us to have ill will and have resentment and differences and separate ourselves. So we are Christians first, right? We're not politicians first. I told you I wasn't going to harp on it. I was going to pick on it a little bit. I could say more. But we shouldn't separate ourselves from one another because of differences in color, race, or origin. We're all one in Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26. Galatians 3:26-29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So because we have put on through our faith that we learned when we heard the gospel, we obeyed the gospel and was baptized and we became a Christian. We have to put aside those old ways of thinking, those old attitudes that are contrary to the word of God, and put on the mind of Christ. So in service, and my third point, in service to one another. We're talking about how we can serve one another tonight. We must also bear one another's burdens. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, which was read in your hearing. We are our brother's keeper. Let me say that again. It didn't come out too well. We are our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper. We are our brothers and our sisters' keeper. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In this passage, in this description of bearing one another's burdens, this could be you. It could be me at any given time, because we are all vulnerable and subject to sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 brings that out. So it is quite possible you could be the one reaching out to another brother who has sin. But likewise, you could be the one who has sin and a brother or sister is reaching out to you. How are you going to act if a brother or a sister comes to you regarding a spiritual matter, regarding something that you are doing, and you react in a harsh and in a violent or in a sarcastic manner, seem to be irritated because they are trying to look out for your soul? Well, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, let's turn back over there. The mature Christian cannot have this puffed up, arrogant attitude that they don't need help, that they don't need correction, or that they can do no wrong. Romans 15, 1 through 3 says, "We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who approach you fell on me.'" Those transgressions that we have committed, Christ took that burden and carried it to the cross. And we in turn, when we are bearing one another's burdens, ought to be willing to carry and help the other brother or sister carry that load, or help them get out of that sin, or warn them about that sin and teach them and guide them from the wrongdoing that they're doing. And if we are the receiver or the giver, we should be that two-way street of communication, and we should receive one another. So verses 1 through 3 of Romans 15 relates to this, because we're not going to give in and compromise God's law here, but we're going to tell them exactly what they need to hear with a spirit of meekness and gentleness. We're not going to compromise God's word. Is that what the scripture is saying? But that we're going to realize we all have weaknesses, right? We all have different weak things that we struggle with. So we need to be willing. Someone else might be stronger in that area who can help you overcome the struggle or the sin or the transgression that you are involved in. For emphasis and to show us the importance of how interdependent we are on one another to successfully live the Christian life, the phrase or the pronoun "one another" is used 81 times in the New Testament. 81 times. Very important. We are to actively bear one another's burdens. When we bear one another's burdens, we're fulfilling our individual responsibilities as Christians when we bear one another's burdens. Also, in view of the original meaning and uses of the word burden, going back to Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2, verses 2 and verse 5 specifically, the burden that is talking about in Galatians 6, 1 and 2 is a heavier burden. It's something that we can't bear by ourselves, because we need someone else to help us, because the burden is heavy. So this burden in verse 2 is heavier than the one in verse 5. So the burden in verse 2 is a heavier burden that we cannot bear or carry alone. So we need help. The burden, as translated in verse 5, is a more manageable load that we are able to handle personally on our own. So again, we must be willing to help our brothers bear that heavy load that they can't bear on their own. Also, as verses 1 and 2 indicate, sin is a burden that we all have encountered. So we must be ready to help one another. My fourth point in service to one another is that we must all be prepared to comfort one another. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, which was read during the devotional reading. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. And I'll read that again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective during the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So I'll stop right there. So we see that Christ offers comfort to us. He, in turn, wants us to offer comfort to our brothers and our sisters. Now, when the Lord says comfort one another, it is not one-sided, but it's a two-way action in which both can engage and both profit. This is why we need to get to know our members, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ of this congregation. We need to not be afraid to approach them and to get to know them. This is something that is very, very important for our growth and for our development and for our maturity in Christ. Comforting one another involves empathy. It involves sympathy. It involves urging. It involves exhortation. It involves encouragement. And it involves cheer. Cheering our brothers up. There are certain times that we all need to be cheered up and encouraged. And we need to be able to read and know our brothers and sisters and know when there is something wrong, something is wrong, and that we can offer that comfort. Not only just when it's a time of grief, when a brother or a sister has a death in the family or a loss of loved one, or it should be, during other times as well. This is important. But we also want to recognize there's other challenges that our brothers and our sisters may have that we can offer comfort and strength and encouragement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1, verses 11 and 12 says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So comforting involves those traits that I mentioned, but we have to be willing to offer some encouragement. And the best way to do that is through God's word. The best way to do that is also by being a good listener. God's word can provide comfort and peace and a calming effect on our thinking. And we've already read Romans chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 brings that out as well. To provide comfort to our brethren during setbacks, for an example, we mentioned a death in the family, we must learn how to be good listeners. Sometimes a brother or a sister just need someone to listen to them. And we need to sit there and listen and be quiet and let them get it out and show some empathy and be a good listener. I'm going to mention James chapter 1 and verse 19 says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. My final and my last point, that we got about 5 minutes left here in service to one another, is that we must learn the importance of edifying one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, this point is illustrated in these verses. We didn't read that one during the devotional. Please turn over there, Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The Greek word, or the original meaning of the word edify, as written in Scripture, means to build up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11 says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you're God's field, you're God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus." So, brethren, in closing, we edify one another through association and interaction between Christians. In other words, being around one another. By worshiping our Lord on the first day of the week, and other planned assemblies. See Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. By the word of God, by discussing the word of God. Acts chapter 20 and 32. I'm not going to read these scriptures because of time. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. We also can edify one another by works, meaning doing kind things for one another in the simplest form. Like a phone call. When we miss an assembly, we see a brother or sister not here, or by sending them a card. During times of bereavement, sending them a card. Or during hard times. Another way that we can edify our brothers and sisters is by helping them understand better a Bible subject, something that they're struggling with. We have some converts, some new converts that are still new to the Lord. We should have joy, and we should have interest and a desire to help them grow and to be able to stand and understand and be able to share and present God's word. So those are some of the ways that we can show and service to one another and help the church grow and thrive, and help each other individually thrive and grow. So if you're here tonight, and you're not a member of the Lord's body, we encourage you to obey the gospel, hear the gospel of Christ, to believe, to repent of your sins, to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. As I read a scripture in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29, those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, to close himself with Christ. And if you are here and you have transgressed, you have not service to one another and have not been faithful to God, and you need the prayers of the congregation, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.